There you go. You are on the Edge broadcast.
Hey.
How's the party going on down there?
It's getting kind of loud.
I guess I can't let the viewers know that you're partying down there when you're supposed to be doing an interview. But that's okay. We party here on the Edge, man. It, man, this is like party headquarters here on the program. Well, Stormy Dear, hey, welcome to the program, and let's get right to it because we only have a half hour with you. How did your house end up in the middle of a lake?
We started flooding, and the backwater actually started in late December, January, which is pretty normal. We usually get we get a little bit of backwater flooding. Closed our hunting season down on January 17th, which was early. And then in February, we started hearing that we were going to get a historic flood, historic backwater flood. Mm-hmm. And by March 16th, we were boating to our home from the backwater flood. And we are still boating.
Well, by the way, Gladys and Dawn said hello. Stormy?
Hello.
So why is your house in a lake? Why is that? Where's that water supposed to go?
That water is supposed to go into the Yazoo River. It comes out of the Still Bayou Dam. And what happened was the Corps of Engineers came in and built the Yazoo backwater levee. And basically what they did, and it was for flood control from the Mississippi River. And what they did is they built a bathtub. Mm-hmm. Around the South Mississippi South Delta. Mm-hmm. They completed every step of the project, and when it came time to put the pumping station in, the EPA vetoed the pumping station in 2008. So essentially what happened was the Corps built us a bathtub and did not install the drain. Mm-hmm. Now, a backwater levee project is not, we're not a rarity. Within 200 miles of us, there are 22 backwater levee projects. We are the only one, the Yazoo Backwater Basin, we are the only one that does not have a pumping station.
Mm-hmm. And so where would that water go if they were to start to pump it? Mississippi?
It would go into the Yazoo, which would drain into the Mississippi, yeah.
What's the politics behind why you guys can't get pumps down there?
The EPA vetoed the pumping station, claiming that it was going to drain the wetlands, which is a complete lie. And they also presented that it would kill the pondberry bush. And those are the two reasons, the pondberry bush, and they said it would drain the wetlands, which is not true.
Mm-hmm. I saw the interview that you did with NBC, and they mentioned that John McCain had hated the idea of those pumps. And here's a double jaw looking freak that I can't stand him anyway. From the grave, man, he is causing you guys all kind of problems.
Well, I do know what John McCain said about the pumping station, about the Yazoo. The basin and the pumping station, I know what he said. I'm not sure. Now, I'm going to be honest. Before we started getting this unprecedented flooding, I was completely ignorant to this issue. Completely. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I grew up in the Oak Ridge, Mississippi Hills. My husband transplanted me to the flatland. I was used to a little bit of flooding. But until we started really, this started happening this year, I had no clue what was going on. Until I started, a friend of mine and I call it diving down the rabbit hole, because that's literally how much information we had to go through to understand what exactly happened. But mm-hmm. John McCain did come out against the pumps. He sure did.
Mm. Where does that project stand now? Is there any hope that you guys will get the funds for those pumps, or are they trying to flood you guys out?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Cindy Hyde Smith, who is our junior senator, she and Roger Wicker, who's another senior senator, they say that the talks are going on in Washington and that we're closer now than ever getting the pumping station. The problem is is we have to get the EPA to veto, to rescind that veto from 2008. And basically, that has never happened before in the history of the United States. The EPA has never rescinded a veto. And according to Ms. Hyde-Smith, they don't know exactly how to do that. They don't know exactly how to go about rescinding that veto. Mm-hmm. Once that, if that veto gets rescinded, then it has to go to Congress in order to get funding. Now, when the project was first started, the funding for our pumps was there. All the funding for the pumps was there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know where the money went to fund the pumps, but it's not there anymore. So it's going to have to go back to Congress to get funded if we can get the veto rescinded, and we know how well Congress is getting along.
Mm-hmm. What about this wetlands here? Now, I would imagine that environmentalists are running around down there saying, "Hey, don't touch our wetlands." Are they trying to enlarge the wetlands, say perhaps with your land, or are they just saying we don't even want a pump near our wetlands because you might suck a couple ounces of water out of it?
The EPA and the Audubon Society, they'll have you believe, mainly the Audubon Society, they'll have you believe that the pumping station would drain the Delta dry. And that is just not true. It is absolutely not true. The pumping station that pumps actually would not start pumping until the backwater levels get to 87. And I know that's probably, a lot of people don't understand what that means. But basically, at 87, there's still wetlands in the Delta. In fact, there's more than what the EPA in their original studies
mm-hmm.
said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got a picture here of, and you sent these up to me, they look like starving deer. What's going on? Are they trapped? There's nothing to eat? What's going on?
They are. All the wildlife. I'm sorry. All the wildlife, they're basically trapped. There's no food for them, and you're talking about the black bear, deer, raccoons, possums, foxes. I mean, anything that you can imagine that that's up here, that the food is running out. I think 2 weeks ago, the Mississippi Department of Wildlife and Fisheries finally said that with a permit, that residents can start feeding the deer,
mm-hmm.
But that's 4 months. They've been starving for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow. Now I see there. Some of these pictures have live gators and dead gators. Now, are the dead gators? Or did they run out of food to eat?
No, those dead gators. The pictures that you're showing in between our house in Redwood, Mississippi, and Valley Park, Mississippi, which is about a 6 to 7 mile stretch, because the water is so far reaching on either side, what's happening, that's Highway 61, the Blues Highway. What's happening is the alligators are coming up out of the water and getting on the blacktop to soak up the heat.
Uh-huh.
And especially at night, when you're driving down the highway, if a gator is on the road, you're right on top of it before you can see it.
Wow.
I think as of yesterday, our count in just our small stretch was up to 31 dead gators.
Wow. Now, there's one picture. It's a cat, but is that a cougar? Is that a cat? Is your pet? What is that?
That's a bobcat. And he showed up at Melanie and Charles Lampley's house up at Eagle Lake. They're one of the few houses up there. That's another community that's been affected in the South Delta over the 500,000 acres. They had one of the few houses that had a little bit of dry land up underneath one side of their house.
Mm-hmm.
And that cat showed up, that bobcat showed up. Basically, he was so tired, I guess from swimming. Melanie said that when he first got there, he was soaking wet,
mm-hmm.
was so tired that he laid on their porch all afternoon and all night. mm-hmm. just to rest. He didn't have anywhere else to go.
Wow. Man, that is something. So what do you take a boat from your house to the road?
Yes. We've been boating from our house to the road and back since March 16th.
Wow. Wow. Now has that water got into, say, your living room, or is it just in the crawl space?
No, at the backwater's highest level, which was 98 and a half, we had about a foot left before it would get into our insulation underneath our house.
Mm-hmm.
We were extremely lucky. There are a lot of people, not only that got water in their houses, but the water has sat in their houses for over 4 months now,
mm-hmm.
which creates a problem with black mold.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody knows about black mold, but when black mold sets in, especially for this long, these people are going to have to, most of these houses are going to have to be torn down. It's cheaper to tear them down and start over than to come in and have specialists come in and remove the mold.
Well, yeah, that is crazy. And you've been living like this for how long?
We've been living like this since early March.
Early March.
In the boat. We've been boating since early March. We first saw the water in our back field, in our back soybean field, in mid-February.
Wow. That is a crazy way to live. And now, did you get threats after you went on the NBC and did an interview?
I got a lot of ugly messages. I did. I've been very, very vocal on social media. Extremely vocal. I'm a vocal person anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've had many, many very ugly, ugly messages.
Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because you want to pump so that you can farm your land?
Yes.
I read in that article that in the interview that you said the people aren't against the wetlands that are near this area. You just want, and in fact, I think we was talking to your husband, who's saying that there's an agreement even out there that at above 87 feet, they're supposed to drain that. And are they crawfishing on that agreement?
I mean, they crawfish on our pumps. I mean, you know, the pumps is what would, that's what would keep, start pumping at 87.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the Corps started a project, and what?
1941.
They started this project in 1941. And you had, back then, you had landowners, and you can talk to some of the old-timers now, you had landowners that gave the Corps of Engineers land
mm-hmm.
to create these levees with the promise that they weren't going to create a bathtub, that they were going to install the drain with the pumps. And that when they got to the final, when they got to the final steps, which was the pumping station, and the Corps admits this, when the EPA presented their concerns, the Corps did not present a strong enough case, and now they admit that, and which caused the veto, which mm-hmm. caused us to not get our pumps.
So
the only backwater system, levee system, that does not have a pump.
Right, so what you're saying is a lot of other areas already have these pumps.
Every backwater levee system within 200 miles of us has a pump except for us, and we have the largest land mass inside this a backwater levee system.
Do you sense something more than screw-ups at the Army Corps of Engineers or the Environmental Protection Agency? Do you feel like there's something else behind why your area's been sort of designated as, hey, well, we screwed up, and so we're going to leave it like that? I mean, do you think it's just government at its worst, at its normal rate? I'm looking for a conspiracy here, Stormy, because I'm sensing
one. I know
what
you're looking for, and a lot of people do think it is a conspiracy. The population in the Mississippi South Delta is very low, and our income per family on average is very low. The EPA and the Audubon Society puts it out as rich farmers And that's just not the case. Now, are there big farmers out there that are hurting? Absolutely. But there are more little people hurting. And yes, there are many people that think that this is a way of a government takeover, a way to get the land, to make people give up. And I'll be honest, there has been times in these last 4.5 months that I wake up and I because all I can see is water. And I feel like it's a war tactic. I do. I feel like it's a war tactic. Let's isolate them. Let's take away their livelihood. Let's, flood them out, make them despair, make them hurt, make them broke, and they'll give up. They'll leave. And I mean, there have been many days that I have felt like it's a war tactic.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's precedence for that. I know that Harry Reid, he tried to take somebody's land because he wanted to sell it to the Chinese out west to have this giant solar panel industry built there, and he got caught. And then, of course, there was that showdown with the ranchers further out west, the Bundys, and they tried to take their property, and they tried to stop them from cattle grazing and everything else. So there does seem to be a precedent. If the government or the EPA or some environmental wacko wants your land for some kind of freaky toad, then they're going to take it. They're going to work on you. But I got a feeling that if you guys can be boating from your house, and by the way, that one picture we showed, I think, was that your dog there that I've showed? It's a dog in a boat. Let me see here. This right here. Is this your dog?
Yes, that's my Ruger.
That's your Ruger?
Ruger. Like the gun, Ruger?
Oh, I like that. I like that. By the way, I can talk Southern, too, because I got a hat. But anyway, no, every day. I mean, you guys got to go back and forth. Like, we walk across the yard, you get in a boat and drive your boat to land. I mean, you've been doing that for months. I see you guys as a resilient type of people and fighters. And it sounds to me like you guys have no intention of giving up, do you?
No, absolutely not. And the NBC interview that I did, that article, that reporter actually asked me. He asked me, what is it going to take for you people to leave? What is it going to take?
Really?
And it's just, there's nothing out there. And it's not just us. There are generations and generations that have been on this land. There are people, the South Delta land. There are people up at Eagle Lake. They're having a boat. Their boat ride is about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on where they are. Mm-hmm. His mother-in-law, Jimmy's father and stepmother, they've been boating and been without electricity, running on a generator since early March, and none of us are leaving. They can try, but we're not leaving.
I admire that. There comes a time when you just have to take a stand. And let me ask something. When you ride them boats, does your propeller ever hit a gator in the head or anything?
No, I think we've cut up a few carp though.
No, nobody likes them. Well, wait a minute. I don't know, man, because you guys are in a different geographical area. I mean, do you guys eat carp down there?
No. Because here, what is it?
The Asian carp.
Not the Asian carp. So, what is the carp that we ate that night, though?
Bullhead carp.
We did eat a bullhead carp one night, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you catch him at night, or?
It was pretty good.
Wow, that's amazing there. I mean, here in Indiana, man, we got some nasty carp, man. They got like this mud vein thing going on. You got to dig that out. But I tell you what, our rivers up here, man, they're so contaminated that a lot of these fish got three eyes, man, and a couple of heads on them, And I tell you what, though, here in Indianapolis, we got this place called the White River. There's so many bodies floating in that, you could walk across the river hitting these bodies, man, because people throwing bodies in the river. So it's pretty nasty. It's nasty up here, man. But hey, look here. So where are we going now? Are you one of the point people in this fight, or are you obviously one of many? But have you sort of been kind of gravitated toward that, or you're just telling your part, or is there higher up people doing that?
I think higher up people. I mean, there's higher up people that can get way more done than I can. I'm just really vocal, and don't really care what people think about me, or and don't care about ugly messages or anything, and I'm going to say what I want to say. But we do have a lot of good people that are working for our cause, and working really hard at it. So, I would not say I'm a point person.
Yeah, but you were on NBC. That kind of makes you one, doesn't it?
Maybe I was the only one available that day.
That article is still up there. And by the way, on our website, in the live chat, or not in the live chat, but on our website, in your bio section, we have a link to a couple places. One is the Facebook for Forgotten Backwater Flood, and then there's another one. The Yazoo Backwater Project as well, so people can learn more about this. But really, you know, you guys are our fellow Americans, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show to bring your plight at least to this audience here. And of course, this program will go up on our YouTube channel as well. But here's a question from our live chat from Southern Boy. He says, "Now, how do you get mail and packages?"
I have to go to the post office. They won't bring them. They won't. We have gators all around our mailbox, and water. Yeah. And so the mail lady, she won't fight the gators. So I have to go to the post office. Makes getting mail pretty hard.
I mean, some people.
Yeah, there it is. There's one of them.
Yeah. Some people have mosquitoes around their mailbox. Some people have gators. I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. I mean, this gator here, he looks like he's just sitting on a log sunning himself. He's right at the mailbox. Is he waiting for you to go get the mail?
Yes.
Is he looking for a stormy snack?
Yeah. He actually, on that picture, you can't tell, but there's another one on the other side of him. Uh-huh. And he's a small one. We actually have a 14-foot gator and about a 10-foot gator that's hanging out around there.
Yeah. Now, you guys don't name them, do you?
I do, actually.
Man, you're in such a positive mood right there. I can tell you the government's not going to tell you. If you're out there naming gators, man, you know.
Yeah, that's Pipsqueak right there. He's so cute.
Okay. He'd make a good boot, wouldn't he? By the way, our moderator, Jay, says, hugs for your issue, Stormy.
Oh.
Now, tell me. But now, you're in a neighbor's house right now.
We're actually we're down the road.
Down the road.
We're on dry land.
You're on dry land. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Stormy, is there a party going on there?
Yes, there is a party going on outside.
Well, now that's gonna make the government mad right there, because I can guarantee you the government don't party. You know what I'm saying? Them fools up in the D.C. and I don't like that. How that somebody, a group of know nothings in Washington D.C. get to make life choices for people out in the heartland. I don't get that.
I agree. I totally agree. And number one, I'm going to say, if they don't party, I'm going to say bless their hearts, okay? Because mm-hmm. you only live once. And number two, I have put out several times on my Facebook page, and anybody out there is welcome to go to my Facebook page and read up on all the stuff. All my flood things are public, so Stormy Deer on Facebook. I've invited all the politicians, the Wildlife Federation, Audubon Society, EPA, there is a standing invitation for any of them to come stay with me 2-3 days at my house. Please come stay with me. I'll cook for you. I'll boat you in and out. Please come stay with me and live in my world for a little bit. And it's not just me. There's several. When I put that out, there's all kind of people out there that will open their homes and let them come live our life for a little bit.
Look at that. Even in your situation, you guys have a great big old heart, man. And that's Southern hospitality at its finest. Joey Splats out of the YouTube chat says, what can the average people do to help?
Right now, we need people to write the EPA. We need people to write the Audubon Society, Wildlife Federation, our senators, Cindy Hyde-Smith, Roger Wicker, and then also our U.S. Representative, Benny Thompson. He is the representative for the whole South Delta, and we need support from America. We do. In our own town in Vicksburg, Mississippi, there are people that don't realize that we've been flooded for 4.5 months. In our own county, they don't realize it.
I don't even know.
You got to think about the state of Mississippi. Half the state don't realize it. It's just. it is unreal to me. And that goes back to, and I hate to say the word conspiracy. I do. I hate that word. But it goes back to, why are we not getting national news attention? Why is this not plastered everywhere? I guarantee you, if New Orleans was flooded for 4.5 to 5 months, if any populated area was flooded for 4.5 to 5 months, highly populated with high income, with a high voter base, I guarantee you it would have been all over the national news. When we first started trying to get the national news here, and I quote, it was not national news worthy. And that's a direct quote.
Yeah, pain and suffering is not newsworthy, okay? Unless you're coming up from south of the border illegally. Michael McKinney says, God bless you, Stormy. Do you have a contact name or number for the EPA? He says he'll call them up.
I have on my Facebook page, and I'll repost it. I have a picture of all the people that you can contact. But when we get off here, I'll repost that picture on Facebook on the all the email addresses and the numbers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the next event that you know of that may happen? Is there going to be any politicians visiting? Is there any meetings coming up? What's happening next?
On July the 13th, we're having the Valley Park, Redwood, Fittler, Onward community. We're having a media day. We're going to try to get as many media representatives there to for our area people to tell their stories. We're having on July 23rd, we're having a town hall meeting at the Warren County Courthouse. And I encourage anybody that wants to come to support us, come on, let's fill the courthouse up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we need. There's strength in numbers. And in my gut, Daniel, we are in this situation because of the low population and the low income. Our votes are not going to make or break a candidate, a statewide candidate or a federal candidate. They're not going to do it, and they know that. They know that. But we still pay taxes. And we still matter. We still matter. And I'm going to tell you something. It is heartbreaking for us to sit here, and when I go into town, in my own town, and somebody does not realize that there's flooding going on 10 miles up the road and has been for 4.5 months. Now, that's just wrong. I mean, what does that tell you about our leaders and our news people? What does that tell you?
I see people in our live chat are saying this is the first time they ever heard about it, and I can't believe the length of time that you guys. It's like it's not even. It's you're right. It's like they've wiped it from the news. Maybe a blurb when it some event earlier, but there. I think the conversations about flooding were designed for political purposes. So if particular flooding was happening that would bolster somebody's political thrust, then that was brought up in the news. So evidently, there's no benefit for the politicians at hand to put a light on your situation. Like you say, I could see that. That's the way politicians work. It's despicable.
And they're saying, we're hearing that water is going to be on us for at least another month, if not more.
That's in the boat.
That's us boating. So another month, if not more.
Wow.
FEMA cannot come in until the water is gone. We haven't even been declared a federal disaster. They've never dealt with any... No, sir. We have not been declared a federal disaster. We've been declared a state disaster, and MEMA has come in. FEMA will not come in until the water is gone so they can assess the damages. We're looking at another month to another month and a half before the federal government comes in to assess the damages.
Why are we paying those people?
I don't think they've never dealt with anything like this. This is an historic flood. They've never dealt. There has never been a time that water has set this long in an area.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Now all
they don't
this
know how to deal with it.
Now all this water is rainwater, right?
Most of it is. Most of it is rainwater. Some of it comes from the Yazoo, but almost all of it is rainwater. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We had record-breaking rain here in Indiana. My wife and I keep bees, and it washed all the nectar out of the flowers, man. And so our honey production is really low. Well, I'll tell you what, Stormy Dear, we're at the end of our time with you. Can we have you back for an update sometime?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you stay safe, and I guess I can't really say stay dry, but I really appreciate you coming on and telling your story today.
Well, thank you, Daniel.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.